This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Of the seven wonders of the ancient world, only one remains, and that is the Great Pyramid of Giza. The pyramid stands in the Egyptian desert outside of Cairo. It took decades and an estimated 20,000 people or more to build it way back in 25 to 50 BC. That was well before the era of engine-powered cranes and heavy machinery, when each one of the 2 million blocks used to make it had to be hauled up in the old-fashioned way, lots of muscle. And while the ancient Egyptians left lots of records and hieroglyphics behind, detailing many different aspects of their culture and society, they left no information about how the pyramids were actually built. There is no end to the speculation, though. Over the centuries, Egyptologists have been debating the construction methods ever since. And now, make room for one more theory. My next guest thinks he may finally know the secret to the construction of the Great Pyramid. And he details the new theory in a new book co-authored with the French architect who first proposed it. Joining me now to talk more about it is Bob Breyer. He is co-author with Jean-Pierre Houdin of The Secret of the Great Pyramid, How One Man's Obsession Led to the Solution of Ancient Egypt's Greatest Mystery. He is an Egyptologist and mummy expert and senior research fellow at Long Island University. He's here with us in New York. Thank you for coming with us today.
Pleasure, Ira.
What are the standard theories about how the pyramid was built?
Well, for 30 years I've been teaching the basic theory and always knew it was wrong. It's the single...
You knew it was wrong when you were teaching.
Yep, I did. And I told the students, you know, this is the best theory we have, but there are real problems. The best theory was the single ramp theory. The idea is, how do you get blocks up to the top of a 480-foot pyramid? And it's the old Hollywood solution, one big long ramp with guys hauling on blocks.
Right.
But we always knew there were real problems with it. I mean, if you're going to have a slope going up to 480 feet in the air, it's got to be a very long, gentle slope. And it would have to be a mile long. And that's just too big. You can't have anything that big.
And so your idea is that there's an internal ramp we can't see from the outside.
Yeah, the secret of the Great Pyramid is really that there's a ramp inside. It's a mile long, like a road in a parking garage, you know, sort of corkscrewing up, and it's been in there for 4,500 years.
Wow. And so did they use the ramp as part of the pyramid itself?
Yeah, the pyramid is its own ramp, and you've got this thing going up inside it, and the blocks for the very top are brought up inside the pyramid.
And how were you able to see this ramp if you can't get inside to see it?
Well, the unfortunate thing is we haven't seen it yet. It's a theory, but it's more than a theory. There's evidence for it too, but so far we just don't have the smoking gun.
Mm-hmm. What would you need to actually see it? Is it possible to actually take a picture of it internally? We have all these high-tech radar, infrared, all kinds of these cameras that can see through the earth, through opaque objects. Could we see the ramp if we wanted to?
Yeah, in a way, we've got a picture already. It's a curious story. In 1986, a French team went to the pyramid and did a very sophisticated survey using microgravimetrics. It lets you find low-density areas in the pyramid. They're looking for hidden chambers. And in 1986, they found a little hidden chamber with sand inside. Not a great discovery, but something. But they should have found this internal ramp, and they didn't say anything about it. And then when Jean-Pierre Houdin was talking about his theory, gave a lecture, one of the guys was there, and he said to him, I've got something you're going to be very happy to see. And he took him to his office in Paris, and the computer printed out the internal ramp. They had found it in 1986, but they just didn't know what to make of it, and they ignored it. They thought it was an artifact of the computer.
So then Jean-Pierre said what?
Incredible. I mean, that's exactly what he said.
Incroyable.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. And then we knew, you know, he knew it really looked good. So that's why I say that it's not really just a theory. Yeah. There's evidence for it. But to answer your question, Ira, there are other ways to get at this thing. We could use infrared photography. You could use ground-penetrating radar. And we're really looking for another confirmation of the theory pretty soon.
1-800-989-8255. We're talking with Bob Breyer, co-author of The Secret of the Great Pyramid, How One Man's Obsession Led to the Solution of Ancient Egypt's Greatest Mystery. You know, this being the Middle East, I'm sure that the greatest impediment to you getting in there has got to be political, right? Yeah, or religious or social or something like that.
No,
it's not going to be the science.
No, it's not the science. Science isn't our problem. We know what to do. We know how to do it. And it's not too hard.
Mm-hmm. What would you do?
Okay. We would use, I think, infrared photography first. That's a really good mm-hmm. thing. Thermal cameras can give you a really good picture.
It can penetrate inside the big stones.
No problem. The ramp isn't all the way deep inside the pyramid. It's near the surface. It's only about 15 feet in. So it's not going to have to be a real deep penetrating thing. We could do it. And we have to make a permission. You know, we have to give a sort of proposal to the Supreme Council of Antiquities, and we need their permission. And we haven't gotten the permission yet, but I think within a year or so we will get it. We've got to wait for other people to do their projects on the pyramid. All kinds of egos have to be stroked, but I think we're going to get the permission.
Mm-hmm. And give us the story. You talked to Huda about this, and take it from there. What happened after that?
Sure. There's really two stories to this tale. One is the pyramid story and how it was built. The other is Jean-Pierre Houdin, and I'm not sure which is the more amazing one. Houdin is an outsider. He came to my house one day with his laptop and wanted to show me his theory. And when I say he's an outsider, he's not an Egyptologist. He's an architect who 8 years ago gave up a successful practice as an architect, sold his apartment, moved into a one-room flat with his laptop, and for 8 hours a day did nothing but computer-generated graphics of the inside of the Great Pyramid. And, you know, he emerged with the theory, you know, the internal ramp theory. And he's just an outsider. He had no idea of Egyptology. He had never been to the pyramid. You know, when he came to my house and he showed me these beautiful diagrams, you know, I said to him, well, what'd you think when you first saw the pyramid? And he said, oh, I've never been there. You know, and we were all shocked.
You didn't show him the door at that point.
We didn't, because this guy was clearly the real deal. He knew the pyramid better than anyone I had ever met. You know, but the other kicker is he didn't want to see the pyramid. You know, I said, don't you want to see it? No, I know what it looks like. And that was it. He didn't want to go. I finally dragged him, but I was kicking and screaming.
Mm-hmm. And so he got to see the pyramid, and he said, that's my baby there, and I know what's inside.
Yeah, but you know what was disappointing? Yeah. He didn't go crazy when he saw it. It was sort of like this very nonchalant, yeah, it's kind of like what I thought.
Well, he's been looking at it for years, right?
Yes, yes.
It's better in my head than what I'm seeing here.
Yeah, it's like that beautiful woman, you know, on the radio. You don't want to see her, right?
And so what happens next?
Well, next we went through Egypt looking for other evidences that might support the theory. And you know, it was kind of interesting going with him because he really had interesting insights. So we went to a ruined pyramid that had an internal ramp, a small one, nothing like the Great Pyramid. But we could look at that and say, at least the Egyptians were building internal ramps. They had that technique. So we were looking for things to support the theory.
Doesn't that make sense if you were to think about making a pyramid today in a very simple way, that you would put the ramp inside so that you wouldn't have to go away for a mile away and haul that stuff up there and drop the stones off as you go around the circle?
It makes sense now that the guy came up with the theory, but for 200 years nobody said, well, here's the way to do it. I mean, it was that he was an outsider, that he didn't have all this Egyptological baggage. He could just sort of think it through as an architect and say, well, the inside determines the outside. Let's think about the inside.
And what does the government of Egypt say about all of this?
Not much. There's no
Are
real
they fearful of it, that you're coming in with an outside idea and might upset something?
I don't think so. No, I don't think it's that. I think if anything, you know, if we really discover this internal ramp and show it, it'll be great for tourism. You know, everybody's going to be talking about the pyramids. Everybody want to go. So I don't think they're fearful in that way. It's more sort of social, political, who's going to go at the pyramid first, you know, who's going to make another discovery. So we just got to wait in line.
Why is it that we don't have any documentation from the Egyptians who were used to do all this kind of documentation, not about the pyramid?
Yeah, no, good question. I mean, the Egyptians were really a nation of accountants. They wrote down everything,
right.
You know. I mean, I can tell you the name of Ramses the Great's two horses, right? Mutas Content and Victory in Thebes were their names. I can tell you how many people were killed in various battles. But they never wrote down a single technique for construction. We don't have anything architectural from them. Maybe it was a kind of Masonic, you know, secret that this was our industry. I don't know, but they never wrote it down.
Maybe they thought it was just so obvious.
Yeah.
You know, you got to write this down. You take a ramp, you go around and drop the rocks
off.
Yeah,
isn't it obvious? Sure.
It's not obvious to everybody else. You know, you're not going to tell anybody how to make a pile of sand.
Right.
Same shape, different construction from the inside. Well, this doesn't take much brain. So where do you go from here now? Do you just try to get those permits or the meetings with Egypt?
We're really looking for the permissions and to really get the final, you know, conclusive proof. It's also another question, you know, you're asking a pyramid question in a way. Mm-hmm. It's also a Jean-Pierre question. Where does he go from here? I mean, he's really obsessed. He has no other life than the pyramid. I mean, he's a dear friend, but that's all he talks about. And now he's talking about part two.
Part two is
whatever
what?
That may be.
He hasn't told you.
I have no idea.
Is he thinking of another pyramid? Are there other pyramids there?
Not for him.
Not for him.
No, he's a one-man, he's a one-pyramid man. He's thinking about maybe other chambers in the pyramid, perhaps, or other things to be found.
Mm-hmm. And this is, and as you say, in the Secret of the Great Pyramid, this is one man's obsession.
A real obsession. You know, when I first told him about his, I used the word obsession, he said, Bob, in the book, can't we say passion? You know? And I said, no, we'll use obsession.
Every time, any chance you get, he pulls somebody over and talks about.
Oh, yeah. He has no other interest, really.
Mm-hmm. And he'll be greatly does he think he'll live long enough to actually get the opportunity to probe it?
He has no doubt. He has no doubt. People have asked me, are you 100% sure about this theory? I'd say I'm 75% sure. I think the guy's right, but I'm not certain. He's 100% sure. He's going to take that walk a mile up inside the pyramid in that ramp.
1-800-989-8255 before the break. Alex in Washington, D.C. Hi.
Hi, great show. I got a quick question. I read somewhere when they built the replica of the pyramids in Las Vegas, it took them 5 years, and they're one-third the height of the actual pyramids right now, and that's with modern equipment. So I still don't understand how they could have built this in 20 years back, 4,500 years ago.
Good question, Alex. The answer is no unions. It was a different kind of technique, a different structure, but I'll tell you something that will really blow you away, I think. It's 2 million blocks of stone built over 20 years. Now, if you do the math, and these guys had a 10-hour workday, that means one block of stone was put in place every 3.5 minutes for 20 years.
Wow.
That's organization.
And you say in your book it was not built by slaves.
No, it's free labor. There's no doubt about it.
Tell us how you know that.
Oh, sure. A lot of people pick this up from the Bible.
You know,
they think the Bible tells you the Israelites weren't building pyramids. The Bible says they built the cities of Ramses and Pitom. They were building cities, and they're 1,000 years after the pyramids. So we're sure. We also have graffiti from the workmen. We know that these guys were free laborers, and they took pride in their work. They had work gang names, like Khufu's Drunkards. These are real names of work gangs. So these guys took a kind of pride in it. We even have their village where they lived while building the pyramid. So now we know a lot about these guys.
Wow. We're going to learn more about the building of the pyramid with Bob Breyer, who is Jean-Pierre Houdin, authors of The Secret of the Giant of the Great Pyramid, How One Man's Obsession, and boy, it sounds like a real obsession, led to the solution of ancient Egypt's greatest mystery. Our number, 1-800-989-8255. And you could also get us on Second Life and also Twitter, SciFry. You can Twitter us a question. We're going to take a short break and be right back, so stay with us. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. We're talking this hour about pyramids with my guest, Bob Breyer. He's an Egyptologist and mummy expert and senior research fellow at Long Island University. His new book, co-authored with Jean-Pierre Houdin, is called The Secret of the Great Pyramid, How One Man's Obsession Led to the Solution of Ancient Egypt's Greatest Mystery. Now, you're a mummy person.
Yes, that's really my
specialty. Is that how you approach the pyramid?
Not at all. That's just my day job. This was sort of an avocation. I became fascinated with this guy and his theory, and I thought he really needed help. So I took a year off from my work to work on pyramids.
But you did some pioneering work on mummification, didn't you?
Yeah, I did a lot of work on mummies. I mean, the thing I'm sort of known for is that about 14 years ago, I took a human cadaver and mummified it in the ancient Egyptian way using ancient tools just to figure out how they did it.
How do they do it?
It wasn't the way people thought. The key to mummification is dehydration. If you can dehydrate the body really quickly, bacteria won't act on it, and it'll last forever. So they took out the internal organs, which are moist, took out the brain through the nose, which is moist, and then dehydrated the body in salts called natron.
It's amazing. I was in Antarctica many years ago in some place called the Dry Valleys. We're going to talk about this a little later in the show. And there was a penguin that had somehow gotten from the coast. And I was with a scientist, and he said, how old do you think that penguin is? I said, a couple of years. He said it was 10,000 years old. It's lying there in the dry of the desert,
Yeah.
Totally mummified.
Yep. As long as you get rid of that moisture, the thing will remain.
1-800-989-8255 is our number if you'd like to talk about the pyramid. Let's see if we can go take some phone calls from George in Salt Lake City, Utah. Hi, George.
Hi. I love your show. I was listening to you about the pyramid, and one of the things that I wanted to mention was that in the construction of the five-pointed stair, the initial triangle that you used to set that up is a isosceles triangle, which is the sides of the pyramid. And side is the golden proportion. The other side is
All right. Well, you'll call back. You're having a senior moment like I do.
Yeah.
Thanks, George.
Is the hyperbolic.
All right, we'll get back to you when you remember, because I have that same sort of problem. Let's go to Glenn in Jackson, Michigan. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, the ramps are really good there. Congratulations on figuring that one out. But you know, you still got to be able to move those blocks. You hear about that concrete engineer out in the Midwest somewhere who's moving 10 and 40-ton blocks single-handedly?
Yeah, I've seen his video. It's pretty impressive. I mean, the guy really has a simple way of moving heavy stones, and I think it shows that it's possible.
How does he do it?
With balance, very careful balance. He can do it with a simple rock, and he's got a balance board, and you put it on, and he just moves it a little bit at a time. It's really quite interesting.
You pick up one box, you stick a round rock under it to act as a fulcrum, and you can, just by putting a tenth of the weight at the other end, walk it across, and you stick another fulcrum under the other end or under the other side of the middle, and you just walk it farther. The nice thing is it only takes about twice the width of the block to move it, which makes turning 90-degree turns on a spiral ramp a lot easier to do.
Yeah, no, I think his real contribution is that you can move fairly heavy objects with very simple techniques.
And very few people.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling, Glenn.
Thank you.
1-800-989-8255. Tad in Hermiston, Oregon, is it?
Yes, yes.
Hi there.
Good afternoon. I have a question for Mr. Breyer. I'm a thermal infrared guy. I take pictures from the air with thermal infrared cameras. Have found things like pioneer grave sites and pipelines, things like that with it. And I'm just curious, knowing that thermal infrared doesn't penetrate objects, how do you see inside the pyramid?
Well, it's through a temperature differential. What it is the void inside the pyramid, it's going to have a different temperature from the actual stone. So it's based on a temperature differential. And it's been used in archaeology before on buildings, say, in Jerusalem, just to see what's behind walls that you can't use stone walls. So it'll work.
So it's like a shadow that you're going to be.
Yeah, it's not going to be a clear picture.
Yeah. The walls, how thick is the walls?
Yeah. Well, we think it's going to be about, at some place it'll be as thin as perhaps 3 feet where we've gone.
And the ramp itself will be how big?
The ramp is a mile long.
And
it's going to be at least 10 feet wide.
10 feet wide.
Yeah. No, you got to have room for guys to go up and guys to go down, and you've got wide blocks. No, it's a
how,
big
how
ramp.
Wide are the blocks?
The blocks are about 3-foot cubes. 3-foot cubes, but they're on sleds, which increases the width. So you got 10 guys hauling each block.
So we're pretty sure we know how it was made.
Yeah. Yes.
How it was put together.
Yeah. Now we just got to show it's there. The ramp.
Yeah. When is your next opportunity? Are you waiting on something to happen, a response to the government? Or
I think we're going to wait. What we're doing is we're hoping that the book will put a little pressure on people. The interest will be saying, people ask, well, why don't you give these guys permission already? It's non-destructive. We don't even have to touch the pyramid. So there's no reason why we won't get it. And I think we will. We just got to put a little pressure on and let public opinion build behind us.
Well, let's say that you're successful and Jean-Pierre is right. What does that do to the whole world of Egyptology?
I think what it shows is really that the Egyptians were amazing planners. I mean, it doesn't change things radically. Okay, so the ramp is inside rather than outside. But it's a kind of greater feat of planning and engineering that is unheard of in Egypt. So I think it really puts them up a notch again in terms of planning.
Because they're pretty high up already, aren't they?
Oh, they are. They did amazing things. But, you know, it's not rocket science what they did. You didn't need mathematics to build a pyramid. You didn't need, you know, careful theorems. They've never worked out the structural strength of stone, for example. They couldn't calculate how strong stone was. They kept building until the thing broke. Then they knew how strong it was.
And of course, we know the pyramids were there for burial services.
Yes, they
right?
were just tombs. One purpose for the pyramids, to preserve the body of the pharaoh. Mm-hmm.
There was a new pyramid discovered recently. Tell us about that.
Yes, it was found at Saqqara just a week ago or so, and it's really the base of a pyramid. The top of the pyramid is gone, robbed, quarried. You know, they use the stones over and over again in Egypt. But this is an important one. It's a queen's pyramid, and it may have inscriptions in it because it's a later pyramid, so it's important.
It's hard to believe that you can still discover new pyramids.
The belief in Egyptology is that there's more underground than above. You can't believe what's still underground. And, you know, pyramids do disappear. They can be, the say, 18-foot pyramid disappears in the sand, and it's gone.
Wow. And so this was found actually still underground. You say it was the base. It was covered over by the sand.
By sand, yeah, at Saqqara.
Do people still go looking for them as a matter of, let's go look for a pyramid? Or?
Oh, absolutely. There are pyramid experts. I mean, for example, the architect of the first pyramid, the step pyramid at Saqqara, is somebody named Imhotep, and they've been looking for his tomb for 35 years. They know it's in the area, but they just haven't found it yet.
D- Do they line up astrologically to point at stars or planets or anything?
Not really. You know, there was a theory, the
Orion
theory.
Yeah, I know.
Theory.
I remember that.
Yeah,
one.
That's sort of New Age. No, because you
Well, the whole idea about pyramid power is sort of.
Yes, very New Age, or now old age.
But
the pyramids were built one at a time, and the pharaohs didn't work in concert. One guy built his pyramid where he wanted, and the next guy built his pyramid where he wanted. So the big three pyramids at Giza, you know, they look like they line up beautifully.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just where they put them.
And what's the most fascinating aspect of the whole thing to you when you look at a pyramid like that and you say?
I think it's the social organization. When I think about putting one block in place every 3.5 minutes for 20 years.
Around the clock? You think they
10-hour days. 10-hour
days. 10-hour days.
Yeah. I think it's incredible. You had to have 20,000 guys on the pyramid at one time, and they couldn't get in the way of each other.
Right.
And they're hauling the block up a mile-long ramp. Remember, the ramp is a mile long, so they're hauling this thing up a mile. And one guy drops his block off, the next guy has to put his in 3.5 minutes. And they had guys at the quarries. They had thousands of people quarrying the stone. They probably had hundreds of guys just sharpening the chisels. And, for example, part of the pyramid is granite, part is limestone. They knew the different properties of the different stones. And when you get to the burial chamber of the king, it's solid granite. Now, those beams are big. Big, 62 tons, right, some of the beams. They had to start quarrying them 10 years before they needed them to have them ready. So they knew from year one that in year 10 of construction, we're going to want these beams, start quarrying them now. So the planning is what blows me away. I mean, it's not just the size, it's not the beauty, it's this social organization that it was a military operation with surgical precision.
Wow. I never realized that.
Yeah, no, it's incredible.
Every 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, think of it. It's a 2-ton block. Every 3.5 minutes, a block is put in place. And there's no glitches.
Oh. Tell us a little bit more about where they lived. You said there was a town.
Yeah. Yeah, recently, when I say recently, during my lifetime, 20 years ago, they found the workman's village. We knew there had to be a workman's village. These guys lived right near it. You know, they had to have a short commute, walking distance, to the pyramid. And we found the village. And it's very revealing about these guys. You know, before you asked, you sure they're not slaves? They were well cared for. For example, by looking at their bones, we can say they're well mineralized. These guys had good diets. They were given meat, which is a really upper class thing in ancient Egypt, meat. But we look at their spines. We have their burial grounds too. We look at their spines and you can see they had the wear and tear of construction workers. There are discs that are out of place. There are, you know, they had all kinds of construction industries, broken legs, broken, you know, arms. So we can tell a lot. We can almost reconstruct their lives from their village and from their cemetery. So we know a lot about these people.
Fascinating. And if you want to know more about it, this is a great book, The Secret of the Great Pyramid. Getting close to the holidays, you're looking for a good book selection for the holidays. This is a Secret of the Great Pyramid, How One Man's Obsession Led to the Solution of Ancient Egypt's Greatest Mystery. Bob Breyer, one of the co-authors, along with Jean-Pierre Houdin. Bob is here with us. Thank you.
Pleasure,
Thanks
Ira.
For coming down from the Bronx today.
Pleasure, Ira.
We're going to take a short break.